Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brother.
Catch. And hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your host, Right Worship Brother George Mudry. And with me tonight,
Brother Jesse Loney.
And where are you from, Brother Jesse?
Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada.
So this is going to be a very nice podcast because he's Canadian. He's
bullshit.
He's not going to be with he's going to be the nicer one of the arrogant Americans. But anyway, we're up here. We're going to interview you today. Joe and Ken, they decided to bitch out. We'll just, you know, they're bitches. They didn't. No, I'm kidding. They have other things going on. But I'm gonna interview you. We're gonna talk about what it's like for Masons in Canada. What's different between your ritual and ours? I know the English. They do whatever the fuck they want over there in England. They got their own. I talked to a couple of English brothers, and their ritual, the hands and grips and stuff. I'm like, what is that? Like, it's completely different from American Freemasonry. So I'm really curious about that. But so let's get started. Yep. What got you interested in Masonry? What led you to the door?
I gotta say, it was my uncle. I was 16. I was visiting in Ontario when my grandfather was dying, and we were going through town, and he's like, "I'm part of that, and it's a square and compass." I said, "Well." I said, "How'd you get into that?" And he's like, "Oh, I just applied." And he said, "Well, only blood relatives can join." He goes, "That's horseshit." But he said, "When you're 18, he said, find some people." He said, "I bet you that'd be something you're interested in."
Yeah, there's a lot of myths about that. Who can join and how do you join and everything. But so you were how old? 16, you said?
I was 16 at the time when I knew I wanted to be a Mason.
Ah, nice. And what's the age in Canada in order to...
19.
19. Yeah. Interesting. That's weird. Or maybe we're weird. I mean, it could be us too. Because I mean, you have this is the stupidest shit in America. So it's 16 to drive, right?
Yeah.
18 to join the military, 21 to smoke and drink.
Okay, for us it's 16 to drive, 17 to join the military, but you got to have your grade 10. And it's 19 to drink, unless if you're in Quebec, that's 18.
So let me guess, I can go off to war and shoot people in the face, but I can't have a cigarette and a beer if I wanted one.
Pretty well.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. It's America for you. Anyway, so you joined at 19, I'm assuming?
Nope, 22.
Oh, pfft. What happened?
My uncle lived in Ontario. I was living in New Brunswick, so I didn't know anybody.
Oh, okay. So it's you have to know somebody in order to... Yeah. Oh, okay, all right. We kind of used to be that way in the United States, but with the declining membership in, I don't know what it's like up in Canada. We can talk about that in a minute, but with the declining membership, they started this whole EMR thing, which is like electronic membership request. So you don't really technically need to know anybody. You still got to get vetted. And of course you're going to get vetted really hard, but you don't need to know anybody anymore. So. Yeah, that's kind of like a gone to the wayside thing. So.
Actually, I got in through the Lions Club because I knew two guys in that.
Oh, okay. All right. So you 19.
I was 22 when
22. I was 22. Well, that's right. That's right. You said you can be legally 19, but 22. So what was enter apprentice degree? Well, how do they do it with you guys? Because I've always been down for the burlap sack and drag them out of their house. I mean, that's just fun for me. I don't know. But nobody went for it. But anyway, what do they do? They make you come to dinners beforehand or?
No. I had my investigation committee at the temple because we got a bar downstairs.
Okay.
And talked to them.
It's always important to have a bar downstairs.
Oh, exactly.
One right over there.
But basically, after I was in March, in October, I got the call that I was going in.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out after the guys that sponsored me were sick, so they weren't there. So it was literally nobody I knew that was there. So I'm waiting outside, and I was the first out of a group of three.
Okay.
So I'm waiting outside, waiting. One guy comes up, you nervous? I said, yep. All of a sudden, you see looks like a flock of seagulls. Oh, no, don't worry. Like, we've been doing this since, like, 1854.
Right.
And then they're like, come here, and we went to the preparation room. Like, okay, get naked. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that was for me. That was the same thing. They're like, all right, you're going to take your clothes off. I'm like, the fuck I do? What are you talking about? I'll fight every single one of you in this room. But they told you to go to the prep room, yep. Get naked.
Yep.
Not neck. I want to be clear because he's going to be, oh my God, they're doing dirty sexual stuff. No, you're not naked. You're still wearing underwear. You put on other garb, if you will.
They did ask me if I was wearing underwear from an instance at our lodge. That happened twice same person.
We do too. like full boxers, right? Not like banana hammocks or anything crazy like that, right? You're standing out in the prep room.
Yep.
You're wearing all the shit.
Yep.
Or not wearing all the stuff. What's going through your head?
Well, it's,
fuck did I get into?
Pretty well. And you walk through the door and what happens. And for some reason, I leaned. When we go right around the corner.
Okay. Uh-huh. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Yep.
And I leaned. Ooh, that doesn't feel too good.
Yeah. So you take the Anarch Apprentice degree.
Yep.
Don't remember shit, right?
No.
First time, don't remember. You've probably seen a bunch of EAs now, yep, where you remember, and now it's like, but I remember when I took my EA, I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I had no idea, like, what was going on, here you go. Michael Baxter, greetings to all from Richards Bay, South Africa.
Yes, sir.
I started listening to your podcast on Spotify about 2 weeks ago and decided to start from the beginning. Keep up the show. You guys rock. We try. I rock better than the other two. See, I can talk shit when they're not here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk shit. They decided to not show up, so I'm going to run my mouth now. I rock more than they do. So here in the States, you have to show proficiency.
Yes.
Same way in Canada, same thing.
We got to remember obligation and questions and stuff like that.
Oh, you got to remember the obligation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And we got to recite that.
No, you don't have to know the obligation. Well, I mean, you don't have to know the obligation until you become a master and have to give the obligation. We don't actually. It's in our. It's so we get. I don't know what you guys get for like. This fucking chair. I don't know what you guys get for like. Do you guys get ritual books? Like, or.
Kinda. Like, We'll just get doing our degree work. We'll get papers with the obligation and questions.
Uh-huh.
And if you become an officer, then you get the ritual book.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Yeah. So what we do is, for like an EA, like, do you guys get like a study book or something like that? It's a small little thin book that's got like the questions and answers in it. And you have to kind of learn it. You guys get that too?
Yeah, we got a big duotang. Okay.
Pennsylvania doesn't do that.
Okay.
They're Grand Lodges. It's word of mouth. You have to physically meet another Mason, and yeah, it's.
I knew that was like that at home years ago.
Yeah, we used to have coded books, so they give you a book with the questions and answers, but everything was code. You needed somebody to show you what the code was. Now it's all in English, but
I know the book that I got, which now we got new books, I believe, because I help with the mentor program sometimes, and it would be like. Explain each degree and the symbolism.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then it will have your obligation. Then it'll have it in code, which I actually found helped me a lot. And same with the question and answers.
Yeah, no kidding. So you had to learn proficiency, do all that stuff, and then you take your fellow craft degree.
Yes, which was 2 years later.
2 years later. Wait, they made you wait that long?
No. I ended up working out of town, of course.
Oh, okay.
I was in 2019, then pandemic happened.
Oh, yeah, that shit.
So,
pandemic, not pandemic, but that's for another story.
But I was working out of town, so lodge meetings at 7:30. I'm walking through the door, covered in shit at 7.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now, what do you guys have to wear during your meetings? Like
suits.
Suits. It is suits.
Yes.
All the time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, some places it's not suit. Like, I think it's Maine. I could correct me if I'm wrong, but Maine, it's casual. The only time I think they wear suits and stuff is during actual degrees and stuff. We don't really have, it's not really written in our bylaws of what you can wear and everything. So at least I don't believe it is anyway. But we usually, what the master now, Gary's been doing is, he'll do like casual Thursdays.
Okay.
And then suits and ties Saturday. So it kind of, I mean, and it's also tough being up here because it gets hot as shit up here. Like, yeah. You probably already feel it. It's warm. But if you're doing it in like June, forget it. You can't even breathe. So but that's cool. I didn't know what, is that like countrywide or grand jurisdiction wide you have to wear suits? Or
I believe so. I know my uncle's lodge, it was like that. I know all of our lodges in the district I am in, we all wear suits.
Yeah. So you take your fellow craft degree.
Yep.
2 years later, you said, right?
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that one?
That was a lot of information.
Yeah, it was.
It was really interesting. And it was one of my good buddies that did the senior deacon's lecture all by himself.
Yep. We call that the
staircase lecture.
Staircase lecture, or what the hell is it called? Joe likes it. God, I can't remember it now. I'm having such a freaking brain fart here. Anyway, it's the lecture, the fellow craft lecture. Did they do it? Do you guys have a long and short form of that, or is it?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, we have a long and short form, and the long form is long. Short form is a little bit more abridged and more direct to the point. So
yeah, no, ours is like a 30-minute speech.
Yeah, so you guys do the long form then. Yeah, all right. So we have a short form. We cheap shit it the way out of it, of course. Fucking American, so he's looking for an easy way out. When are you able to start actively participating in your lodge? Like with, I'm assuming your voting is the same way. You can't vote to your Master Mason.
Yep.
And lodge. What about actually performing degrees? So like if you're a fellow craft, can you help out with an EA degree?
I don't believe so.
Don't. Okay. Yeah. We allow it, but only certain parts. You can't sit as an officer, but you can do the steward's lecture.
Okay.
So you're allowed to do certain things to kind of get active, but you can't do a lot of things. So you as a fellow craft, you were able to, you're not able to do any of that stuff.
No, we're mostly studying for our own, for a third degree. Stuff like that.
I don't mind it actually when a fellow craft does an EA lecture or vice versa or whatever. And the reason being is because in a sense you're kind of studying as you're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know how your lectures are, but EA fellow craft and the Master Mason lecture are kind of identical. So you get into that. They're so somewhat identical. Still the same format, but different wordings and different parts and everything. For us anyway. Okay. So if you can do one, you can do them all, because it's pretty much the same format. So you take your fellow craft degree. How long do you have to wait for your Master Mason?
We did that in September. I took my Master Masons in December.
Oh, wow. God damn. You learned that ritual fast. Yeah. So you take your MM degree. I love this. So this is my favorite stories, because I love hearing about MM degrees, because we know what happens during MM degrees. If you're an MM and you're listening, you know what. Middle chamber. Thank you. That's what we call it here in the States. Middle chamber. That was from Jed, Worship Brother Past Master.
Okay.
Yeah. When you're a Mason, you get really good with acronyms, too, because everything is freaking abridged. See? Lazy Americans. So, MM degree. Tell me all about it. Within due bounds of what you can.
No, it was a fun night. Definitely when you're going through the second part of it. I was caught off guard. And again, my buddy was senior deacon at the time. He said, I looked down. He said, I seen your right shoulder drop and your hand curl. Right after. Then he said, you straightened up. He said, you must have clicked in where you were.
During the part that you're talking about, I've talked about it before, but I laughed. I started laughing, and then just a tick. I don't know. I just started laughing, and then shortly after, I wasn't laughing anymore.
See, when I get scared, I get in a fight mode, so.
I do now, but, I mean, you know, back then I was like, what, 25 or 26 when I first did it. So, I mean, I don't know any freaking better. I just know that I just got popped, and what the hell for, you know? So, the MM degree, yeah. I'm assuming, well, again, we can't really talk too much. I'm assuming it's pretty much identical across the board, with the exception of, do you, so what we do is we do the story after the raising, if you're picking up what I'm putting down here.
No, not do with you, that. Like, we'll go with, like, we'll do the obligation, all that stuff, and then you are the story.
You are the story. Okay. We do it a little differently depending on the volume or amount of people that can go take the degree. So we're only allowed to do, at max, 5 fellowcraft per degree. That's
okay.
It. So you can only do 5 of each because, I mean, realistically, you'll know. It's a long freaking night to begin with. But so what they'll usually do is they'll do the first 4, and then the last guy will be the story.
Oh, okay. No, not with us. We'll all go one do our stuff, or at least our lodge, and then one by one we'll go in. And there is a long and short form, but the long form always has to be performed. So if there's 2 guys,
same with us.
The second guy gets the long form.
Yeah, so exactly like, okay, same thing. Yes, the first 4 for us, like if let's say there's 5, first 4 will get short form, last guy will get long form.
Yeah.
I've also seen, we also do with an exemplar sometimes, everybody gets short form, and then the senior deacon does the story, long form.
Okay.
Just to expedite the night, because, you know, it's a freaking long night. So, you become Master Mason. Do you get your dues card right away?
We got our dues card right when we become EA.
Right when you become EA. See, that's the big debate debacle here. Fucking see, this is the shit that I'm talking about. Adam Brooks, good morning, brothers. George needs a booster seat. Yeah, I need a booster seat. Yes, I do. I need a booster seat. And I'm going to bring one in. So what the hell was I talking about before? This asshole. What was I talking about?
Dues
cards. Yeah. So that's like the big debate here in Connecticut, because there are some lodges that... So it goes, once you come up, that's it. You're an MM.
Okay.
So a lot of lodges will just give their dues cards right there. But there's another school of thought that until you prove proficiency, you're not an MM.
True, but you're still a brother.
Right, you're still a brother, but you're not afforded your dues card until you prove proficiency of the MM degree.
Yeah.
So I don't know, everybody's different. I don't care either way.
our first due dues are higher than after that because it pays for the apron, carrying case, and all that stuff.
Really? Yep. Oh, you guys get apron and carrying case and all that stuff? We give you the apron, you get the lambskin apron, but the carrying case you don't get. That's on you. And actually, the apron that you wear, you'll never wear again after your MM, because what we do is we roll it up, it goes in a tube, it gets sealed in wax, and gets stamped with the lodge logo, gets handed to you, and basically that will get put on you. The next time that particular apron will get put on you is when you're dead.
Really?
Yeah, it goes on your body when you're during a funeral, and you get to use all the cheap shit cloth ones that we have in here for just regular night. Unless you become an officer, then you wear our officer aprons and stuff like
that. No, that's what we wear to lodge meetings. And I know from what I understand, when you die, you wear your apprentice apron, or that's tradition, the white one.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, is the white one. Wait, hold on. See, this is where it gets funny now, right? Because in the States here, you get one apron, and it's white lambskin apron. That's what you wear. Not that particular one, but you wear a white apron.
Okay.
But, like, we've got brothers over in, like, England. They wear something different. They get the little rosettes and stuff on their aprons and everything. We don't do any of those little, like, rosettes or anything like that. We do just, it's a white apron. There's no fringe. There's no shit on it. It's just a regular apron. So are you saying you guys get an entered apprentice? You get your apron that you wore throughout your 3 degrees.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the one you wear throughout the rest of your Masonic career, or you get a different one?
No, we get a different one when we raise the 3rd degree. We get a Blue Apron and stuff like that. Depending on how old your lodge is, it's either silver or gold.
No kidding. Yeah. All right. Yeah, we don't do that here. I mean, there are brothers that can go on, you know, the internet and buy whatever apron and fancy shit that you want. I think we did an episode on, I don't know, cheesy Masonic aprons or whatever stuff. Or, that is a Connecticut thing. We are really plain Jane. Yeah, so he's a Connecticut Mason. So, all right, I think he is. Yeah, it's just a plain, it's plain aprons. There's nothing, nothing extravagant about them until you become, after you're a Master Mason. Yeah. Then we give out a past master apron. I'll show a multi later. I'll show you the past master apron. And the aprons we give out, it's got a little bit more flash and flair to it. But other than that, I mean, you wear.
Yeah, we get a past master apron too. And funny thing, I have my uncle's apron. And the whole thing about him was his is silver. So his was under 100 years when he became a Master Mason. But when he became a past master of his lodge, it was 100-year anniversary. So his apron's gold trim.
Oh, that's cool. See, in Connecticut, we're not allowed to wear gold on trim because gold and purple are the colors of Grand Lodge officers. So, no gold.
Ours is like dark navy blue for Grand Lodge.
Dark navy blue. Yeah, ours is purple. I don't know why they went with purple, but purple it is. Yeah, they wear, you wear, so my apron that I wear at a lodge is, it's purple in gold trim with a purple fringe, whatever the hell, thing that annoys the shit out of me because it's always banging. Yeah, so that's interesting. Pretty cool. So now, two questions. One, you're a Master Mason now.
Yes.
Are you an officer of the lodge?
No, it's probably coming next year. And I have filled in.
You filled in. Volunteered, voluntold?
I volunteered to go to the practices and got told, you're a steward tonight. You're director of ceremonies or you're inner guard.
How do your officers work? Just the top three or top five are elected, rest are appointed?
Yeah, like a Worcester Master, of course, Secretary elected. Treasurer.
Secretary Treasurer elected.
And Tyler.
Tyler's elected? Okay, we don't have an elected Tyler.
Our tradition is the Tyler goes to the immediate past master once he's done in the chair. That's our lodge's
interesting
tradition.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, we have our election is Worship Master, Senior Deacon, Senior Deacon, Worship Master, Senior Warden, Junior Warden, okay. Secretary Treasurer, all elected.
Those are appointed, the Senior and Junior Wardens.
Really? Wow. That's wild. Yeah, so everyone else is appointed, and our Tyler's, our Tyler's more of just whoever the hell is, just, go guard the door and everything.
Do you guys pay your Tyler?
No, we don't pay our Tyler. We don't pay our secretary either.
We pay our Tyler.
Some people do, because it kind of sucks sitting outside the door all day. I mean, you got to give him some sort of kickbacks.
But it's from what I remember, it's $10, so that's like $7 here. And usually he donates it back to the lodge.
What is that, per meeting?
Yep, $10
per meeting. $10 per meeting? I'll take this. I'd take $10, go buy a pack of cigarettes. Actually, I can't buy a pack of cigarettes for $10 anymore. That's a joke. That's interesting. I know some lodges do pay their secretary. They give them a stipend just because secretary sucks. Don't ever be a secretary.
I did it with the Lions Club. I understand.
Yeah, I don't want to bash secretary, like the secretary position, but it's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of
you. If you get a good one, we got a good one at our lodge.
Yeah, like I would like to not toot my own horn, but I was a pretty good secretary. But I mean, it's just people think that, you know, when you take the secretary's chair, like, it's literally show up for 7:30 and my work is done when the lodge meeting closes. No, you're going home and doing stuff. Yeah. You're doing stuff on the weekends. Your email's blowing up every 15 seconds because somebody needs something. It's
guys like me asking three times about my introduction letter. Then the day before I leave, calling, is there anything else I need to bring before I head to the States?
Yeah, no. Passport, apparently, right? You need a passport to come in here? That's crazy. You need a passport. I mean, for years, you never need a passport to go to Canada.
Birth certificate is all you need for. I heard some guys, you could still do the birth certificate, but the border guards can be a pain in the rear end.
Which ones? I'm going to go with the American side.
I never experienced it, so.
Oh, why? You?
This is like my second trip in my life been to the States.
Really?
Yeah. I went once when I was a little kid.
Ah, no kidding. So when you guys came down here, then you didn't...
I've never been to Maine, never been to Massachusetts.
But going across the border, did you have to...
Oh, yeah. He's basically pulled up, and he showed the passports. Where are you going? Oh, we're going to Massachusetts, and we're going down to Connecticut. What are you doing? Oh, we're going to a Shriners event.
Uh-huh.
Any weapons, alcohol? Yep, case of beer in the trunk. Have a nice day. Here you go.
No kidding. Yeah. Was that the... Yeah, but you see the American... Border Patrol,
yeah,
right?
I believe so, yeah.
And then when you go back, you'll see the Canadians.
Yeah.
See, I've never crossed the border. Like,
okay.
So I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued about this. So I just you ever seen the movie Super Troopers 2?
I haven't seen two. I've seen the first one.
Watch Super Troopers 2, and then when you get to the two Americans being the Canadian Mounties, you'll laugh. Like, I don't know. I just picture that in my head, and I just start laughing about it. So anyway, let's talk about appending bodies in Canada.
Yep.
We have here in the States, York Rite, Scottish Rite, Shriners.
Yep.
God only knows. There's turtles. The list goes on and on. What do you guys got up there in Canada, and how do you join that?
Usually they'll say, hey, do you want to join? Right after you get your
Literally, as you're getting handed your apron, they're like already on top of you. Yeah, same thing down here.
We were lucky. My group wasn't like that, but yeah, we got the Shriners. I am a Shriner.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because you went to the Shriners event with that terrorist, Steve Saxton. he's a nice guy. And you said you seen him up there at the Shriners event, and...
Yep, he's a fellow water buffalo.
Yeah, he's that, too. He's a fucking water buffalo, all right. What was the Shriners event about before we get further into the appending bodies that you guys have?
It's basically the Loyal Order of the Water Buffaloes is what we went to.
Oh, that's what it was.
Of like the Flintstones and that with the hats and that.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
So what do you do as a Shriner? I know we've had Shriners on here. They got motorcade and the clowns and all that. So what do?
I'm part of the mini car unit.
Mini car. Yeah, the mini cars. Those are smash hit.
Which I think this is a good tie in is I was thinking about being a Shriner and I was listening to the podcast with Bill Russo.
Yep.
That's what made me talk to my buddy that's a Shriner to join.
Really?
Yep.
So, wow. So that episode actually pushed you to join the Shrine.
Yeah, I was on
That's
the fence
awesome.
And that, but then I went and talked to him, and turns out he knows Bill Russo.
Yeah, I believe it. It's, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, as far away as you can go, like, we're still a really close community in a sense. Like, I mean, I was in a bar one night, and I banged into Brother Joseph Grabowski, just randomly. Just standing there. I'm like, I fucking know you. He's like, yeah, I know you too. You're George. I'm like, well, no, I'm really screwed up because how the hell do you know who I am? And I don't know, like, I can't picture where you are. He's like, oh, Brother Joe. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But, like, randomly. Just banged into him at, I don't know where the hell we were, Hartford or whatever the hell.
Well, it's so, like a good buddy of mine, when I was working and stuff for the 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and going to the bar, it's like, we know each other somewhere. We can't picture it. Then he said something. I'm like, You were the junior deacon. Yeah, but you were an apprentice.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right. Shriners, you joined them.
Yep.
What else you got? You got the York Rite, Scottish Rite, because
yep.
I'm part of those two as well. You haven't done those paths yet.
I'm gonna wait till after I go through the chairs.
Yeah, I would. It's just you hear the train now.
Yep. See,
that's what I was talking about. The damn train. Again, I've talked about it. When I kind of jumped right into the fire and kind of got my feet wet and everything. You know what I mean? And it takes a lot out of you. Like,
yeah.
As you're out, I mean, Christ, I think when I was doing Scottish Rite, York Rite, Mother Lodge, and I was district deputy at the same time, I was out 17 nights out of the month. Like, it's a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, how's it set up in Canada? What are you guys part of as, like, Scottish Rite? Or do you not, you may not even know about it, but, like, is there, like, a, like, in the States we have the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, Southern Masonic Jurisdiction for the Scottish Rite.
I guess it'd be called the Canadian Jurisdiction, because it's
Canadian,
like,
Jurisdiction.
Because you got, it's like 4 through 14, it's the Lodge Perfection, then it's like 15 to 18, it's the...
Uh-huh.
Rosecroix.
But it's the whole country,
yeah.
Right? It's not split
so.
Into... Okay,
no.
Yeah.
As far, I'm sure, I think it's the whole country.
Oh, no kidding. And York Rite. Same thing, yep, chapter, council, commandery. So it's pretty much set up the same exactly how we are. And you guys have, I'm assuming, let's see, and this is why I was talking about the grand encampment of the Grand Lodge of the United States of America. That's the only Masonic organization where the entire country is unified. There's a hierarchy that goes all the way up to the grand encampment of the United States. Scottish Rite doesn't. We have a northern and southern Masonic jurisdiction. And Blue Lodge is every Grand Lodge is its own standalone. So how is it set? How do you know how York Rite is set up? The commandery anyway is set up in Canada. Same thing, a grand encampment of.
I don't know.
Not sure. Okay.
I'm not too sure, but I believe so.
I'm assuming it's probably how it is because I mean, if the United States can get their shit together and everybody get along to have a grand encampment. I'm sure Canada is. I mean, you guys are all nice and Americans are assholes. I mean, that's cool. Are you thinking about joining York or Scottish Rite, or what's your preference if you were to choose one?
See, that's my dilemma.
Okay.
Because I'd like to do both. I'd like to see what both sides are all about.
Not if she got anything to say about it. I'm just kidding.
That's why I'm waiting until I'm done going through the chairs.
Yeah, I mean, if you could do whatever you want, but that's, I mean, mostly my recommendation for most Masons, unless you got nothing better going on and you're just, you know, you don't got a wife, kids, or anything like that, and you're, go for it. Do what? Blow it all out in 1 second. But my recommendation would be you can join them all, but only become active. You can join them all, do them all, and then only be active in one at a time, though. Meaning take an officer's chair in one. Don't take an officer's chair in all three, because then, I mean, you'll never be home. You're going to get burned out fast.
I know a fella, he's in New York, right? I think he's an officer there. Mm-hmm. He's an officer in our lodge.
Yeah, no.
He's junior warden. He's junior warden in another lodge.
Yeah, no, I did that for a while where I was doing officer's chairs and a lot of different things. And I burned out. And I got tiring. And then life got in the way and, you know, jobs got in the way. And it just, it's too much sometimes, you know. So what's your plan? What would you like? What's your ultimate goal? How far you want to go in Masonry? You want to go...
Well, I definitely like go to the master's chair.
Master's chair, mm-hmm.
That's definitely for sure. And that, then I'd like to see the other rites and stuff like that. I don't have much of an interest for Grand Lodge.
No interest in moving further up the chain.
No, but I mean, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. I mean, district deputy wasn't bad, but I don't know. I wouldn't want to go up any higher. I'm not. I don't know. It's big obligation for not having as much time as I'd like to, what I mean? So, and that's one of the things, that I would recommend for, and unfortunately, this is the shitty part I feel about Masonry is, sometimes it feels like it's geared only for the retired.
Yes, I do understand.
You know what I mean? It seems like it's only geared for the retired because, I mean, in that example, when you get up to, Grand Lodge officers or Grand Commandery officers, they want you to travel to this jurisdiction and that jurisdiction and this jurisdiction. Like, I can't be blowing out every freaking weekend to go here, there, and everywhere. So it's just... especially if you have a job and you have a hard job or a job that, is not your typical 9-to-5, I couldn't imagine being let's say a corrections officer. They work 24/7. How are you going to be able to go through the chairs and go up to, so it kind of sucks that it's only geared for, it feels like it's geared for the retired, you know what I mean? And how do you bring young guys into a craft when they're only able to get up to a certain point and then they got to stop? Yeah, that kind of sucks. You know what I mean? I just wish it was a little bit different.
Oh, but I know our lodge is lucky because we got a lot of, I'd say younger, they're older than me, but they're in their 40s and stuff like that. So, which is real good compared to some lodges where the average age is 70.
Yeah. How old are you?
27.
27? Jesus. So I'm the old fart in the fucking room. Awesome. 27, you said?
Yep.
Right about when I got started in Masonry, I was 27. Now I'm in my 40s and grizzled and old, nasty past master and bitching all the time. I just wish there was some way that they can do it where there was more opportunity for younger guys to get further up the chain without having to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not shitting on Grand Lodge and everything, but it's like we have, they have all this money to like buy facilities and do like hospitals and stuff like that. I mean, you should get young guys come through the line, but I mean, if you want young guys to come up to Grand Lodge and get, you know, you new younger blood in there, you know, and you want us to travel to, you know, Grand Lodge in New Jersey this weekend and then New York this weekend and California that weekend, you guys pay for me to go. You know what I mean? I kick it back, and then, you know, you'll get the younger guys be able to advance further than going, yeah, I can't because I have to work and now I got a baby at home.
Oh,
you
know? Exactly.
Yeah, it kind of sucks, but so in a little bit, I guess we'll shut this down. I'll start showing you all the good shit we got in the back.
Oh, I'll say this on air.
Go ahead.
The case of beer I brought you, Alex.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Our lodge, for some reason, doesn't have pens, so that's why I brought that down. We were named from the Alexander Keith who had made the beer.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Yep. Now I got to have one.
And he was past Grandmaster of Nova Scotia in the 1800s.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, that would make sense with a beer.
Yep, that's why I brought it down. So a token, instead of a pen, you get a beer.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to, I got some stuff for you, I think, in the other room. So we're gonna take care of that a little bit later. But
I guess I'll do some Canadian facts, too, because a lot of our founding, our fathers and confederations, what we call them, out of 37, it's known that 11 were Masons.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah,
like
36, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's not proven, but William Henry Steeves, he was born and raised 20 minutes from where I live, where a lodge used to meet in his house, and that I was always told he was a Mason. You can't find proof of that on the internet, but I was always told that. And another prime minister that was, again, born 30 minutes where I am, he was a Mason, Irby Bennett.
No kidding.
So there's been a few prime ministers, is what we call them, and like our founding fathers or fathers of Confederation.
That's cool. Yeah. There's lodges all over in Connecticut here. Yeah. I mean, that you can go like look at their charters. I mean, you can't really go look at their charters, but they're signed by all kinds of people. I'm sure you're listening to the episode where in New Haven.
Which I got a funny story.
The one we don't talk about. Got his name scratched off the charter.
Do you know where he ended up living after that?
England, didn't he?
St. John, New Brunswick.
Oh, so the Americans were still bombing it out. That's what happened when I went on the cruise a long time ago. We were talking before the podcast a long time ago. I went to Canada. I was on a Canadian cruise, and I went to St. John's and Halifax. Halifax was beautiful. St. John's, when we got there, I don't know if it was New Brunswick or Newfoundland. I couldn't tell you. But the town was built on kind of like the side of like a hill is the best way I can explain it. And it was raining. It was raining like a bastard, too, when we got there. And I don't know if the water coming off the hill washed out the road, but I made the joke that it looked like a bombed out World War II Paris town. You know what I mean? So if you were saying he moved to St. John's, New Brunswick.
Yep.
Yeah, the Americans are still pissed off about it. They're bombing the fucking town. They're still probably bombing the city now.
There's actually a statue of them there.
Really?
Yep. From what I read and understand, they ran out of St. John too. From reading from drunkenness and fraud, I believe, from reading an article. I'm not 100% in truth on that.
No kidding. Well, I mean, realistically, I mean, Canada at that point was part of England.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he would still be heralded as kind of like you came back and did the right thing. If you look at it from a matter of perspective, you know, we down here might have been all kinds of pissed off at him, like, you know, what the fuck? But up in, you know, Canada and England, he was considered a hero. Like, he came back and started fighting for the British again, which was originally what we were. So,
and the American Revolution, at least for sure, was the reason why Hillsborough was a village from 20 minutes from where I'm from. It's because of the Loyalists moving up from the Revolutionary War. They were up, so all that wouldn't have been like it was if it wasn't for the war and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like you know what? Another thing is interesting too is I never knew that the United States invaded Canada.
Yes.
Never freaking knew that.
Yep.
One day I was watching a History Channel thing. I'm like, holy shit, we did that. Of course, we got our ass kicked twice. I mean, that's what you get for tracing all the way up through the freaking woods in the mud season to go attack a city. Yeah, that was fucking ingenious. Nobody clearly read The Art of War, but...
From books I read, layman's term is they thought we needed liberation.
Yeah, I don't know.
And we said, no, we're good.
Oh, the Americans got fucking liberated, all right. They went up there and got the shit mashed out of them.
That's why the White House is white.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because we burnt it down. And they painted
it. That's right. That was the War of 1812. Yeah, they burned that some bitch right to the ground.
Yeah, we went down, and on the way back, we burnt it again.
Yeah, yep.
Twice.
Yep. That's actually a pretty crazy story, though. Like, I'm not a very superstitious guy. Like, and I call it superstitious because sometimes it's stupid. They did, when they started building DC, they did it on a whole, it was actually, I'm sure you know about that. It was a whole Masonic ceremony that was done for the laying of the cornerstone of all that stuff. But they poured corn, wine, and oil and all that stuff. And, you know, they started building it and everything. And I know Giorgio Tsoukalos is going to pop out of freaking nowhere with his crazy fucking hair. Like, it's fucking aliens or whatever the hell he's going to say. But, like, if you look at DC, no, it's not in the shape of a pentagram. But everything is perfect angles in DC, like the whole Mall of America down there in the middle. It's all perfect angles and everything. That was intentionally done. Like, so there's no doubt about that. But it is kind of interesting that, like, in the War of 1812, like, British came, burned D.C. to the ground, and then they were doing whatever they did, and then a flash hurricane. You heard the story?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there was a crazy hurricane that came out of nowhere, and it dumped so much rain and wind that it put out all the fires, and it sent the British scattered because, yeah, you'll have to read about it. I swear to God. But it's just interesting, like... To think that, like, you think maybe because of what they did, they brought, you know, that bad juju, they, like, maybe. You know what I mean? But, yeah, no, that's a true story. Well, I mean, historical story. I'm going to say it was a true story. I wasn't there. I mean, Joe might have been there because he's old as fuck. He's probably holding one of the torches. When the British came, they burned down D.C., this flash hurricane, tornadoes, all, it was craziest freaking storm, put out all the fires and sent the British just running because there was no cover for them. So that's pretty wild. But it is interesting, like, when you go back to, like, you look at your country's history, whether Canada, England, everything, and you look and you're like, that guy's amazing. You know what I mean? And you find out that more and more people and how woven masonry is into history and all the good things that they did, you know?
Well, I just think it's interesting because, of course, you hear the founding fathers of the United States, Mason. And mm-hmm. Let's go on Google. How many of the fathers of the Confederation are Masons? Mm-hmm. 11 out of 36.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it's, like, the main reason, but, I mean, it's a pretty good, you know, minority of people who are Masons. Pretty wild. Between your guest and Joe, there are zero souls. Holy fuck. Oh, my God. You know the joke? Gingers, they have no soul. That's what they rag on Joe about all the time because he's redheaded, too, and they say he's got no soul. So between you and your guest and Joe, there are no souls. Yeah, nice. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is what happens all the time in the freaking comments section, but I try to ignore most of them. Some of them I can't, but so anyway, what's next for you now? What are you going to do after we part ways here?
We'll probably slowly head our way back to Massachusetts and slowly make our way home and be home hopefully by tomorrow at a reasonable time.
Well, I got to work, or are you on vacation for the week?
I'm on vacation. Well, I'll go to work Tuesday.
Oh, nice. So. Nice. No kidding. So, when do you do you guys meet during the summer? I was thinking about that.
Our lodge doesn't. We do have a lodge that does meet during the summer.
Yeah, we have dispensation from our Grand Lodge that if we wanted to meet in the summer, we would. But, I mean, this summer's been actually kind of shitty. It's like...
We got a lot of rain back home.
You got that shit burning down all over the place, and we're getting your smoke. are you guys anywhere near those wildfires and everything? Is that...
No, like, we're... Yeah.
3 hours away, yeah. Man, Let me tell you, like, do you ever see the pictures of New York City from all the smoke from that shit?
No.
Oh, man, you got to look at the pictures of New York City's wildfire smoke. You can't even see the city. It was, I mean, even here, the smoke was so thick, you could actually smell burning wood. And that's thousands of miles north. And, it was crazy. Like, you couldn't see the horizon. It looked like a foggy day in the middle of the damn day. Couldn't see the sun. It was wild. It was pretty cool. I mean, you only get to see that shit once in a while, so I mean, I don't know. I know people are like, "Oh, it's so bad for your health." Or, you know, I'm putting on masks, and I thought it was pretty cool. I'm like, "Yeah, this is something that I'll probably never get to see again in my lifetime." So yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, anyway, I think we're pretty much all set. Unless you've got anything else you want to add.
Well, I do want to say this. I'd like to congratulate Brother Paul Steves, or Noble Paul Steves. He just became a Shriner yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Part of Luxor Shrine.
Nice. Luxor? Yep. Is that what it's called? Oh, that's cool. I think the big one down here is Pyramid. Pyramid, yeah. That's one Steve's part of, right?
Yep.
Pyramid Shrine, yeah. They got the bar down there in Stratford. That's how I know. Yeah, they have a Shriner bar. Yeah, so, well, I want to thank you for coming all the way down here. I'm sorry the other two knuckleheads couldn't be here, but, they got other things, obviously, I mean. Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to get into too further detail, but I hope that somebody is recovering nicely.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say, because I don't want to air out stuff that he might not want to be aired out. And but I want to thank you for coming up here, man. It's been a pleasure. We're going to go into the other room, and I'm going to show you all the cool shit we got now, and then we'll go from there.
Well, perfect. I appreciate being on the show.
And for everybody watching, thank you. And we will see you later. For the Freemasons Podcast, I'm Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
And I'm Brother Jesse Loney signing off.
Have a good night, everyone. I got to stop saying night because it's not fucking night. We used to record at night, and now it's the freaking day. But whatever. You get my point. Goodbye.